Good morning, everybody. I'm really excited to be able to share with you guys today, and I'm thankful for this opportunity because y'all haven't heard me talk, so welcome to me. And I'm going to spend about the first 15 minutes of the sermon correcting Dr. Gushy from last week because, you know, no, I'm just kidding. But I am thankful to be here. Before I begin, though, I want to tell you my main point, and I do this as a permission slip. So this is giving you permission to check out after I tell you what the whole point of this thing is. And you're welcome to go back to doing what you were doing. But it might make more sense if you stick with me throughout this thing. So this is the main point. You ready? Pens ready? Phones ready? When the Spirit speaks, life happens. That's it. That's the whole point of this message. So if you want to go ahead and do whatever you're doing, you can leave. Somebody else already is. It's fine. You're more than welcome. It's also 32 characters and completely tweetable. So if you want to tweet that, you can tweet that. But I want to begin with a story. And I'm going to move around. So I don't like being behind a thing. In my former life, I did missions work. Many of you know that. Some of you don't know that. Welcome. I did missions work. And one summer, this is about 10 years ago, I was in the bush of Africa with a small mission team. It was me and four girls. And we ended up in this little church, Sunday service. And the pastor, you know, gave this lively sermon. The music was amazing. It was a picturesque African church experience, right? And at the end of his message, he invited us forward. He's like, okay, we have some friends from America who I would like to invite forward to you know, be here for you. And so we walk up, and we go up to the front of the room, and he's like, okay, in a second, I'm going to invite all of the sick people forward so that you can receive prayer from our friends and you will be healed. I don't know if you guys have ever prayed for somebody and they were instantaneously healed. I had seen a lot of things at this point because when I started this trip, I was that haughty, arrogant 20-something guy. I just graduated from Bible college. I'd been in ministry, and I was like, dude, I know God. I know how he works, and this is not it. And but throughout those 6 months before of that African experience, God had completely dismantled my perfectly curated theology. And he said, I don't fit in your little box, Matt. And I was like, oh, man. And so I'd seen things. I'd seen people receive prayer and healed. I'd seen baptisms of the Holy Spirit. I'd seen people delivered from demons. I'd seen stuff you just couldn't explain. And that's pretty awesome, right? But I had yet to pray for a person and they actually be healed. I was like, dude, I'm like 0 for 12. Like, this is not my thing, but before I could even protest, there's people coming forward. And there was this elderly gentleman who came forward, hunched over, just kind of dragging his feet. And he came to me, and I was like, dude, you picked the wrong guy. And he talked to my translator, and the translator said, he has arthritis in his back, and it hurts really bad. I was like, okay. He said, pray for him. Right. I'll do that. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to pray. I looked down the line, and the girls that were with me, they were in the world. They were doing their thing. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll do that too. And so I put my hand on the man's back. He was hunched over. Put it on his back. And I was like, okay, God, what do I say? Silence. I was like, okay. God, what do I say? Nothing. And it's been like 30 seconds, and I can tell that the guy is getting kind of like, dude, are you gonna pray for me? And so I was like, God, what do I say? What do I say? And then I heard it. I heard it, felt it, sensed it. It was this, just say, be healed in Jesus' name. I was like, all right. So I put breath behind those words, and I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I kid you not, guys, this guy just goes, stood up, and his back goes, and he just like did this, moved his shoulders around, and I'm like, oh my gosh. It was the first time that anything like this has happened through me. And I was like, oh my goodness. And he like moves his shoulders around and he turns and nods at my translator and walks away like a normal human. And my translator says, he is healed, praise God. And I was just like, yeah, hey, this is pretty amazing. Because when the Spirit speaks, life happens. Not just healing, life, right? And so we read this passage from 1 Corinthians today, and to give you an idea about what Paul's talking about, it's a super long passage, and I'm only going to hit little highlights of it, but Paul's writing the church at Corinth because they kind of have this problem. We kind of read about it. There's this wisdom of man, essentially, natural wisdom, and wisdom of God or wisdom of the Spirit. And they're having this debate at the time about who uses the right wisdom, who employs the best wisdom, who teaches the best wisdom. Earlier in chapter 1, he says, you know, I hear there's quarreling among you, church at Corinth. He said, what I mean is that some of you say, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or Cephas, or Christ. And he's getting at this point later on in chapter 2 here, where he's like, that's all beside the point. See, what you're arguing about is wisdom of the ego. It's, you're talking about, you have no humility with what you say about Christ. You're talking about God objectively, not about God or with God subjectively. Karl Barth had that idea, and I just stole it. We only know deep things of God through intimacy with the Spirit of God. He says, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in them? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You cannot know what God is thinking without the Holy Spirit. You cannot know what God is instructing you to do or say without intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is key here. So you might be thinking, all right, Matt, I get it. That's in the Bible. It makes sense to me. But how do I know what the Holy Spirit is saying? Well, you grow with it. It's like growing in relationship with anybody. And I think there are three things to take away here. You grow through the Holy Spirit through time, intention, and listening. You can write those down. Those are good. Some of you are like, what? Time, intention, and listening. And the reason I share these things is because these three things have worked for me. They've worked for the people who have mentored me and discipled me. And so I'm passing them on to you. They're in your tool belt now. But I'm going to talk about them a little bit. So you grow with the Holy Spirit through time. You can't microwave relationships. In other words, you can't develop a deep intimacy with somebody in about 30 seconds. I mean, if you think you can, I think you're wrong, but that's neither here nor there. But it takes time to develop relationships. It takes intention. In other words, you can't passively pursue a relationship with somebody. You can't be like, I mean, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, they're all great things, but that's not intentional relationship building, right? You have to carve out time. You have to pursue people. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You have to pursue time and intention with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, you got to listen. We've been given two ears and one mouth for a reason. We need to listen twice as hard as we speak. And listening to the Holy Spirit speaks to us in lots of different ways. The Baptist's favorite way, the Bible, which is a great way to hear the Word of God. But God can speak to you through dreams. If you know anything about me, you know that that is like one of the primary vehicles through which God speaks to me is through dreams. And I would love to share with you about that sometime. God can give you visions. Again, these two things are biblical. God can give you visions. You ever have a picture kind of go through your mind's eye? And you're like, oh, that's encouraging. Or, oh, that's a good idea. Hey, might be the Spirit talking to you. Sometimes your thoughts or your conscience, the Spirit can speak to you that way. And so you're like, okay, Matt, well, I have a lot of thoughts that float through my head. How do I know what's me and how do I know what's God? Well, an old mentor said to me one time, if it's a thought that's too good for you to have come up on your own, it's probably God. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good advice. God can speak to us through nature. Have you ever been for a walk in the woods or down the street? And all of a sudden, the wind blows through the trees or you hear the birds singing, and all of a sudden you just feel God's presence with you. God can speak to us that way. Or God can speak to us through one another. God can give you a word to share with somebody else. You could have a verse pop in your head and you share it with somebody. My mom, and I shared this in first service, my mom is one of those people who God speaks to her through hymns. She grew up in the church, and she grew up singing and playing hymns on the piano. And so she's like, so, I mean, her Facebook, if you follow her on Facebook, guys, she's just sharing hymns all the time. That's my mom. She's like, I had this idea pop in my head, and it's this verse. She's not Southern. But she'll just share it, and that's how God speaks to her. And she'll call me up and be like, this verse from this hymn popped in my head, and I want to share it with you. And I'm like, great, Mom, thanks. So we grow closer to the Holy Spirit through time, intention, and listening. Make sense? So you only know the deep things of God by pursuing intimacy with God. Another point, sometimes spiritual things don't make sense. Sometimes things of the Spirit don't make sense. In verse 14, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit, spiritual things seem foolish. They just don't add up. We have to interpret the things of God through a different lens. Here's a story, and you can choose to believe it or not. I'm choosing to believe it because it's kind of cool, but that's just me. But it's one I overheard when I was on the mission field many moons ago, and it was this. This guy said he was walking, I think it was in Australia or New Zealand. He was walking down the street. By the way, this is what missionaries do when they meet each other overseas. They sit down, and they just share really crazy stories. It's entertainment. It's fun. And so he said, I was walking down the street, and God said, stand on your head. He's like, what? He just stops. He's like, what? Stand on my head? Stand on your head. He's like, nah. Keeps walking. Stand on your head. I'm not going to stand on my head. There's people walking down the street. They're going to think I'm crazy. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to stand on my head. Stand on your head. And so he's like, oh my gosh. And this guy had spent years walking with the Lord. He knew the Lord's voice. And he was just like, I'm not going to do it. Stand on your head. Fine. So he does it. It's like humoring the Lord, you know. He stands on his head, and people are looking at him like, what is this guy doing? He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's standing on his head. Next thing he knows, his car just screeches to a halt beside him. Guy gets out. He's like, no way! No way! Oh my gosh, no way! Oh, no way! So he gets up. He's like, all right. What's up? The guy's just like, no way! He's like, what's going on? He's like, why are you freaking out? And he said, I was just struggling. He's like, I was just having a conversation with God in my truck. I'm a truck driver. I thought about killing myself because I don't think God is real and there's no reason worth living. And he said, I told God, if there is not a man standing on his head when I turn this corner, I know he's not real. I know you're not real. And the guy was like, well, it happens that he is real, and do you know him? You know, I mean, had that conversation. And it's one of those instances where, you know, it didn't make sense to do what he did. It didn't make sense to stand on his head. But he did it anyway. And I think that it's indicative that sometimes faith involves an element of risk. It's been said many times, and I agree, faith is best spelled R-I-S-K. Risk. We have to take a risk. Spiritual things only make sense to those who can spiritually discern it. I have another story. In case you haven't caught on, I really like stories. And I think it's okay because Jesus told a lot of them. But this story is, it's a personal story. And I've shared it a few times. I shared it in first service and nobody said bad things. So I guess it's okay to say it again. But several years ago, this is post-missionary days, pre-married to Meredith days. I was in this period of transition. I was transitioning out of one community and in stage of life and into another, and it was just a really rough time for me. I was lonely. I was discouraged. I was depressed. I couldn't find a job because it was that time. And there's a history of depression in my family, and so I knew that it was something I would wrestle with from time to time. And it just so happened that this particular evening, it was a particularly heavy wrestling, right? And I'm sitting there on the third, I'm in an apartment on a third story. We had a balcony that overlooked like this wooded area. And I'm sitting on my couch. My roommates aren't home. And I'm just at the bottom of my barrel. I'm at the bottom, and I'm like, I just don't know if it's worth this anymore. I remember it was dark. I had one light on because I was smart. And I'm thinking, man, I can't do this. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about me. And then I heard this voice. And this voice said, jump off the balcony. Now, I don't think that was the voice of God. It was menacing. And it was like audible. You ever hear that weird audible voice out of nowhere? This is one of those. And I was like, this is bad. Jump off the balcony. And I mean, and I could have. Clearly, I didn't. Two things would have happened. I would have either broken my legs, and then people would have paid attention to me. Or I would have broken my neck, and that would have been that. And this is the first time in my life that I ever contemplated suicide because the voice said, jump off the balcony. And it made complete sense. It was the first time I was like, that's not a half bad idea. And I'm sitting there for like 20 minutes just feeling like this thing is plaguing me and sitting on top of me, and it was just darkness and heavy weight. And then I heard it. It was a different voice. I knew it was God's voice. It was the voice of the Spirit. And it said, play your guitar. Play my guitar? What are you talking about, Lord? Play your guitar. And see, I used to lead worship a lot in my former life. Retreats, conferences, at churches, all kinds of things. And I would write music. That was fun. And I was like, so my guitar was just sitting out. And I was like, I don't want to play my guitar right now. Play your guitar. Lord, I am trying to jump off the balcony. I'm not gonna, it was the one angel on the shoulder, the demon on the other kind of situation. And I'm sitting there and I'm wrestling with this. And jump off the balcony, play your guitar. Jump off the balcony, play your guitar. And I've learned in my life that you usually just do what God says because it's a good default. And so I picked up my guitar and just started strumming chords. And I did that for maybe like 10 minutes. And then God said, sing. Sing. Sing what? There's nothing to sing. Like, this is just a random chord pattern. And he said, just sing. I was like, okay. So I started humming, doing what I did. And then God said, sing. And over a period of about 20, 25 minutes, the song came out. And it came from within here. It came in from deep, deep down. And it was this: the Lion of Judah is thundering deep, roaring down the walls of fear in me. And from deep inside, this battle cry you roar. That was it. And that came out over a short period of time. And I kept singing that over and over and over and over again. The Lion of Judah is thundering deep, roaring down the walls of fear in me. And from deep inside this battle cry, you roar. It was powerful. And the more I sang it, the less discouraged and depressed I felt. And then I did it again. The Lion of Judah is thundering deep. And then from deep inside this battle cry, you roar, and I go, "Aah!" I just start screaming. And it's like when I started screaming, this just crap broke off me or something. It's like darkness shattered all around me. And that room felt light. I felt light. I felt free. I felt like a new person. Because the voice of the Spirit, when it speaks, life happens. And it just so happened that it maybe saved my life that night. And it didn't make sense to play my guitar. I mean, a sane person would have said, "Matt, you probably should have called somebody." That made more sense. But instead, I played my guitar. And why did I do that? Because I had put in the time, I had put in the intention, and I had listened, I had taught myself how to hear God speak. And I knew how to respond to him. Because when the Spirit speaks, life happens. And so, I want to talk a little bit about, real quickly before I close, what this means for us as a church, what this means for us as individuals, as you and me and us. I think three things. Number one, we all have to do this. If you want to cultivate intimacy with the Holy Spirit, if you want to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, that is the voice of God, you have to do this. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the intention. You have to listen. You have to pursue intimacy. I can't become intimate with the Holy Spirit for you. I can't be intimate with your spouse for you and you benefit from it, right? Neither can I be intimate with God for you and you benefit from it. It's kind of a Baptist principle, the soul freedom. Nothing stands between you and God. So there's that. We all have to pursue this. We all have to share what God's saying with us as well. Like if God gives you a word to share with somebody, one that can encourage them, strengthen them, or comfort them. Paul calls that prophecy later on in Corinthians. If God gives you a word that does one of those three things for somebody and you don't share it with them, how are they going to know that God gave that word? We have to share what God's saying with us. We have to. That's part of living in community. And thirdly, we have to thirst for it. In James 4, it says, "Draw near to God and God will draw near to you." The more we pursue him, the more he responds. You know, like, the more time I spend with my wife, the better off I am, right? We have to thirst for it. We have to want this. So when the Spirit speaks, life happens. You can only know the deep things of God, the wisdom of God, by pursuing intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when the Spirit speaks, it ain't gonna make sense, and that's okay. But we take the risk and we respond in faith anyway, right? And so in conclusion, I want to encourage you guys as you leave here today to listen. Because we don't listen enough. Slow down because we don't slow down enough. Maybe when you walk out the doors, just stop for a second and take a big, deep breath and say, "Holy Spirit, I'm listening." May we be people who walk out of here with the Word of God in our mouths, and may we put breath behind it and give it voice. May we listen to God and the things that he tells us to do, may we do them, may we give them movement. May we scatter the seeds of the kingdom. And may life happen through us. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's Sermon of the Week. Be sure to follow us online at fbcdecatur.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a blessed week.